Jim Lemons is a renowned neonatologist at Riley Hospital and former director of the Neonatal Perinatal Medicine Division at the Department of Pediatrics for the Indiana University School of Medicine. Jim is no stranger to Kenya, as he's been traveling there for over 20 years. He led efforts to raise over $3 million to build the Riley Mother Baby Hospital in Kenya, which opened in 2009, where more than 20,000 babies are now born every year. Tonight, Jim will tell a story called Everyone's Child.
As mentioned, our family's journey with the IU Kenya program started in 1994. And we've been over at least once a year since that time. It's become a very rich part of our lives and has connected us to almost endless opportunities and endless people with countless stories. And the story I wanted to share tonight is one of connection, and it's one of grace. And yeah. Grace moments. Bob was right. So it's a good story. Started about 10 years ago, one Saturday morning, I got a page from one of the faculty and said there was a silent auction that night at the international school where their kids went to school, and there was a photo of a young Kenyan boy that she thought I would like, and I couldn't go that night, but I said, put a bid on it. 2 weeks later, she brought it in. I hung it up in the office. My wife reminded me that at that time, our church, Second Presbyterian Church, had just started an art exhibit in our community room around mission. And she said, why don't you add this to the exhibit? So I did, and she said, call it Everyone's Child. So here's the photo. It's about 4 feet tall, 3 feet wide, stitched into the plain black frame with a string. And compelling countenance, you know, these penetrating eyes in the shadows. We had it up for about 2 months at Second Press, and hundreds of people saw it, walked by it, a lot commented on it, and each seemed to have a different take on the story that this little boy shared. Well, the next spring, I returned and put it up in my office, and the next spring I got an email from somebody I didn't know at St. Luke's Methodist Church saying they were bringing a man over from Eldoret, Kenya, and his name is Joshua Mbithi. He and his wife, who's a nurse, had started an orphanage for HIV-positive children, and would I like to meet him? The orphanage is called Neema, which in Swahili means grace. So I said, sure, I'd love to meet him. So he came over that summer for a month, and invited him down to Riley. A staff person, her husband, an ER physician came. One of the associate ministers, Stan Abel, came. I toured him around Riley, told him who James Whitcomb Riley was, our famous poet, showed him the newborn intensive care unit that I work in, a couple of miracle stories that happen every day in that environment. And then some about our research. We went back to my office. We're sitting around the small table and just kind of recollecting, and then started sharing our journeys. Joshua was sitting opposite this photo. He got around to me, and we were talking about our kids, and I told about our three kids and my older son, who was 33 at the time and had, he would say he did the 5-university, 8-major, 13-year program. It seemed like a lot longer than that. He's still on this journey, but his 7th major was in piano in Nebraska, and then he went on to get a master's in music at Butler. During that time, he had revealed the language of music, the actual language of music. He's the first to ever do this. It's in rainbow-colored geometry. It's a simple language. He can visualize live music, every instrument and voice now in 3-dimension, mathematically precise, rainbow-colored geometry. All of the 5 people at the table were amateur musicians, and so I showed it to him on the app that Ken discovered it before smartphones, but now with smartphones, you could show it in 3-dimension and listen to the music. So we did that. Ken went on to then patent a new way to visualize any sound, not just musical notation. And at that point, I shared with these five, I said, you know, I just told Ken that I thought maybe he had uncovered one of the language, one of the languages of God, which Ken doesn't like me to talk about. But at the moment, I got teary, all four got teary, because theoretically, with enough computing power, it might be possible to visualize in four dimension over time, mathematically precise, rainbowed colored geometry, every frequency or oscillation or resonance in the ongoing creation. And so there are two ministers there, and they paused, and we did. It was a spiritual moment, and that's when Joshua leaned over and pointed to this picture and said, "That's my son." So it took our breath away as well. It turned out his name is Johnstone Mbaka. He was 5 years old, has HIV, and is being treated with antiretrovirals through the Empath program. It was one of 27 children that Miriam and Joshua had adopted at that point, now over 50. Well, we got close during his visit, and then he went back to Kenya. A few months later, I went to Eldoret with two colleagues, and when I got there, I called over from the IU house to Naima house, because we hadn't visited there. And his wife, Miriam, answered the phone. I didn't think I'd ever met Miriam. Well, it turned out, she said, "Dr. Lemons, do you remember Dr. Peter Agua?" And I said, "Sure, our first visit there, he was a Kenyan surgeon. He saved my life, actually, a couple of times at Paul's Bakery the first time." And she said, I think you attended the cesarean section of our third child. And I said, "Was this over at Limo House, a small private hospital?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "I remember because he asked me to come and attend the C-section, take care of the baby of a very important woman who was a nurse. He was healthy. He's now 6 feet tall, just graduating from the University of Nairobi." So we spent a few hours there at Naima House with all of the children, 27 children. And I actually got to hold Johnstone, who was 5, now he's 14, just preparing to take his examinations for secondary school. Very vibrant young man. So after that, I returned home. I joined Power of One, which is the St. Luke's Methodist group that supports Naima House, chaired it for a couple of years, still on the board and actively seeking. We head back to see Joshua and Miriam next week. We're going back to Kenya. They become very close friends, and as I say, they're connected to us by Naima, by grace.